यथाहमखिलात्मनि कृष्णे निवेश निःसङ्गम् मनस्तक्षे कलेवरम् कथयश्च महाभाग यथाहमखिलात्मनि कृष्णे निवेश निःसङ्गम् मनस्तक्षे कलेवरम् कथयश्च महाभाग यथाहमखिलात्मनि कृष्णे निवेश निःसङ्गम् मनस्तक्षे कलेवरम्।
प्लीज कंटिन्यू स्पीकिंग। महाभाग ओ ग्रेटली फॉर्चुनेट वन यथा as much as aham I akhilatmani unto the supreme soul krishne unto lord shri krishna nivesha having place nishangam being freed from material qualities manaha
mind
takshe may relinquish ke
kalevaram
body. Translation: O greatly fortunate Sukadev Goswami, please continue narrating Srimad Bhagavatam so that I can place my mind upon the supreme soul, Lord Krishna, and being completely freed from material qualities, does relinquish this body. Please repeat after me. O greatly fortunate Sukadeva Goswami,
O greatly fortunate Sukadeva Goswami,
please continue narrating Srimad Bhagavatam.
Please continue narrating Srimad Bhagavatam.
So that I can place my mind.
So that I can place my mind.
Upon the Supreme Soul.
Upon the Supreme Soul.
Lord Krishna.
Lord Krishna.
And being completely freed from material qualities.
And being completely freed from material qualities.
Thus relinquish this body.
Thus relinquish this body.
Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, to be fully engaged in hearing the transcendental narration described in the text of Srimad Bhagavatam means to constantly associate with the Supreme Soul, Sri Krishna, and to constantly associate with the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, means to be liberated from the qualities of matter. Lord Krishna is like the sun, and material contamination is like darkness. As the presence of the sun dissipates darkness, constant engagement in the association of the Lord Sri Krishna frees one from the contamination of the material qualities. Contamination by the material qualities is the cause of repeated birth and death, and liberation from material qualities is transcendence. Maharaj Parikshit was now a realized soul by the secret of liberation. Through the grace of Shukadeva Goswami, for the latter had informed the king that the highest perfection of life is to be in remembrance of Narayan at the end of life. Maharaj Parikshit was destined to give up his body at the end of 7 days, and thus he decided to continue remembering the Lord by his association with the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, and thus to quit his body in full consciousness of the presence of the Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Soul. The hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam performed by professional men is different from the transcendental hearing of Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit was a soul realized in the absolute truth, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The fruitive materialist is not a realized soul. He wants to derive some material benefit from his so-called hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. Undoubtedly, such an audience hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the professional man can derive some material benefit as they desire, but that does not mean that such a pretense of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam for a week is as good as the hearing of Maharaj Parikshit. It is the duty of the saint to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a self-realized soul and not to be duped. By professional man. One should continue such hearing till the end of one's life so that one can actually have the transcendental association of the Lord and thus be liberated simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Maharaj Parikshit had already given up all his connection with his kingdom and family, the most attractive features of materialism. But still, he was conscious of his material body. He wanted to be free of such bondage also by the constant association of the Lord. So, here we see that Maharaj Parikshit, when he got to know that he was going to leave his body in 7 days, he decided to find out what is the best way. When he realized that he was going to leave his body within 7 days, he left everything. He left his kingdom, he left his family, he left everything. And he just went to the bank of Jamuna and sat down there. And he began to wonder that now I have only 7 days left. So let me make the best use of my life. So he had only 7 days, and he felt that these 7 days I must utilize in attaining spiritual perfection. So thinking that, he sat down on the bank of Ganges, and in the meantime the news spread all over the world that the king was going to die within 7 days. Parikshit Maharaj was actually the king of the entire earth planet, including the ocean. So naturally, all the entire earth became very much concerned that the king has been cursed by a Brahmin boy, and now he is going to leave his body within after 7 days. And as the news spread, all the sages, they came to Parikshit Maharaj. They came, one thing is to give him advice, and the other thing was to see a great personality like Maharaj Parikshit leaving this planet. So it is actually very important, or very, also very exemplary to see a great personality leave his body. By seeing a great personality leaving his body, we also get to know how we must also prepare ourselves to leave our bodies. So that's why all the sages, all the great personalities assembled around Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj, as he was a very humble person, he requested everyone to give him the instruction, what is the best thing for him to do right now. He has only 7 days left, and what he must do for within these 7 days. So different sages started giving different advice. Some gave advice about karma kanda, that how he must perform yoga and sacrifices and austerities and penance for acquiring punna or piety. Some gave instructions about renunciation of karma. Some gave instructions on jnana, and some gave instruction on yoga. So different people are giving different instructions to Parikshit Maharaj. But Parikshit Maharaj was not satisfied. So finally, one very strange personality appeared there. This person was only about 16 years old. And his complexion, he was in the prime of his youth, very attractive feature, but he was completely unaware of his surroundings. He was completely unaware of this material nature. He was completely absorbed in himself, or as if his senses were completely projected inwardly. And he was so unconcerned about his surrounding that he was not even wearing any cloth. He was not even covering himself, he was naked. And when the sages saw this person, they wondered who this person is. Because from his features, they could see that he was a very great personality. His features, from his features they could see that he was a very great personality. Because the sages know the signs by which, by seeing a person, they can understand what kind of personality he is. Because after all, our material body is a product of our subtle body, right? And the subtle body is a product of our consciousness. So, by seeing the external body, material, gross material body, those sages could understand what kind of consciousness one person had. And by seeing Shukadeva Goswami, they could immediately see that he must be a great, very great personality. But they never actually saw him. They never saw him before. But they wondered, is this that Sukadev whom we heard about but did not see? They heard about Vasudev's son, Sukadev, who was a great personality. But they did not see him as of them. And Vasudev also was in the assembly. So they got to know that, yes, this is Sukadev. And so Parikshit Maharaj offered Sukadeva Goswami a vasasan, an elevated seat, to speak Krishna consciousness. So he Then he questioned, and Shukadeva Goswami began to answer. Now this is just the beginning. This is the question. This chapter is entitled as The Questions by King Parikshit. King Parikshit was asking Shukadeva Goswami the questions pertaining to absolute truth. So in this shlok, it is said, Parikshit Maharaj is asking Shukadeva Goswami, O greatly fortunate Shukadeva Goswami, please continue narrating Srimad Bhagavatam so that I can place my mind upon the Supreme Soul, Lord Krishna, and being completely freed from material qualities, thus relinquish my body. So he is asking Shukadeva Goswami to tell him about Srimad Bhagavatam. Now what is the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam? The Sanskrit word Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad means what? Who will say? Srimad? All auspicious. So Srimad means all auspicious, and Bhagavatam? Yes, the narrations, the descriptions of the Supreme Personality of God. Bhagavan is the Lord, and Bhagavat means about the Lord. Bhagavat has two connotations. One is the devotees, and the other is the narrations about the Lord. Pure devotees are also called Bhagavat, and the glories of Supreme Personality of Godhead is also called Bhagavat. And actually what the pure devotees do? The pure devotees always sing the glories of the Lord. So that's why Srimad Bhagavatam and the pure devotees are non-different. So this Srimad Bhagavatam, he is asking that please tell me about the all auspicious narration about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The narrations, descriptions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that I can fix my mind on the Lord. And thus I can relinquish my body. Thus I can give up my body. Because when one gives up his body, fixing his mind on the Lord, then what happens? Antakale chamameva smaran mukta kalevaram. One who gives up his body, thinking about me at the time of death, he comes back to me. Now people may wonder, oh, you all are devotees, that's why you are always speaking like that. You speak nothing but Krishna. So people often say that we are always presenting as if Krishna consciousness is the best thing in the world. And actually it is. Krishna consciousness is the best thing in the world. Because if Krishna consciousness was not the best thing in the world, then would you have been here? If there was anything better than Krishna consciousness, then what you would have done? Sadhu? If there was anything better than Krishna consciousness, then you'd have gone for that, isn't it? Like everybody wants to have the best thing, right? Like karmis, when they buy the car, they go for the best car, if they can afford it, right? Or whatever the money can buy, they try to get the best one. So now we are spiritualists, so we are also looking for the best thing. When you want to buy something, then you want to buy the best commodity, right? So what is the best commodity? Best commodity is Krishna consciousness. And if Krishna consciousness was not the best thing, we couldn't have stayed in Krishna consciousness for so long. At this time, I wouldn't have. Because why should I? I'm looking for the best thing, and if there is anything higher than Krishna consciousness, why shouldn't I take it? And actually in India I challenge people like that. I tell them that I'm looking for the best thing, and so far this is the best I found. Now if you have something better than this, please tell me, I will take it, I guarantee you. But if you are, if I can convince you that this is the best, this is better than what you have found, then you must take it also. So, and so far no one has come up to show me anything better than Krishna consciousness. So, and it is not that we are fanatically attached to Krishna consciousness, but Krishna consciousness is a science. We are not accepting Krishna consciousness because, simply because we love Prabhupada or we love Krishna. No. It is more than that. Our love for Prabhupada, our love for Krishna, our attachment to Krishna consciousness is based on a science. We can reason it. We can understand that this is a fact. It is not some sentimental attachment. Right? we can see here that Parikshit Maharaj is wanting to fix his mind on Krishna. And we have heard from the scriptures that when one fixes his mind on Krishna at the time of death, then he goes back to Krishna, spiritual sky. Now, let us consider scientifically whether it is right or wrong. Now, what is our material attachment? Material attachment means our attachment to this gross body and subtle body. Right? What is the meaning of material bondage? Material bondage means the soul's imprisonment in the subtle body and gross body. Right? And so as long as we have these two bodies, we are bound. Like a bird. The bird is inside a covering, inside a cage. Right? As long as the bird is in the cage, the bird is bound. Right? But sometimes the bird gets the chance to go out of the cage. But if the bird becomes very much conditioned to the cage, sometimes birds become conditioned to the cage, then although the bird goes out, it again comes back. Right? So the same way, we become conditioned to this cage, this body. And although at the time of death, we get a chance to get out of the body, but due to our attachment, we again come back. And that is our material conditioning, material cause of our material bondage. So, actually death is the time when we get a chance to go out of this body. So death is actually a chance to become free. But what we do at the time of death, although we are going out, our consciousness, our mind and consciousness is actually projected onto material nature. At the time of death, if we think, oh, what is going to happen to my money? What is going to happen to my house? What is going to happen to my family? Then what's going to happen? Actually, although we are getting a chance to go out, but still we are, our consciousness is actually stuck up here. So that's why we again come back. Like Prabhupada said, sometimes when somebody is very attached to his house, at the time of death, he is so attached that although he's leaving the body, his consciousness is completely in the house. So what happens? He comes back in the form of a mouse. And he stays in that house. Right? He's so attached that although he got a chance to get out of his body and get out of the bondage, but still he comes back in a very, very miserable state of existence. And his attachment brings him back into his house as a mouse. And sometimes they become, when sometimes he's very attached to his wealth, and in the early days people used to dig their wealth in some secret place. There was no bank those days. So they used to keep their money hidden in some place. And they used to leave their body with the attachment to their wealth, and then they would come back as a snake and they would guard their wealth. It happens, and sometimes they become a kind of ghost called Jaksha. No, Jaksha is not that. They used to protect their money actually, they would kill someone and make him a ghost, and the ghost would guard the wealth. So, now generally what happens, the people in ignorance, they leave their body with their attachment. So that attachment remains in their subtle body, right? And the subtle body is made of mind, intelligence and false ego. Now death actually means leaving the gross body, the spirit soul leaving the gross body. And how the spirit soul leaves? Although spirit soul leaves a gross body, but he is carried by his subtle body. Mind, intelligence and false ego. And with the subtle body, he actually gets another body. he doesn't get the body right away. It takes time. He goes through some processing under care of Jamaraj. As one does sinful activities, he suffers the consequences of his sins. And he is punished for the sins. And that through the punishment, actually he gets, his subtle body takes up a positive shape, appropriate for his next body. Like say for instance, if somebody acts like a pig, right? And how does a pig act? Pig eats all kinds of garbage. Pig actually eats stool, right? And has sex without any discrimination. So if some man is leading his life, eating all kinds of garbage, without any discrimination, and having sex without any discrimination, then he is, when he goes to Jamalaya, he is put into some processing. And the processing is, he is forced to eat stool. And actually it is very disgusting, although they are eating garbage, meat and all kinds of things, and they are thinking that it's very relishable, but still they don't want to eat stool. Right? But in Jamalaya they are forced to eat stool. Right? And then by forcing, actually he becomes conditioned and he begins to like the stool. And he is plunged into a pool of stool, right? And he gradually begins to like it. And then he is put into a pig's womb. When the subtle body's processing has been done, then he is put into a pig's womb. And then he comes out with a pig's body. Everything is actually very scientifically explained. And actually science means truth. Science means dealing with the facts. So these are facts, so that's why it is a science. Now, this is about how the conditioned living entities die. They die with their material attachments and they carry heaps of their karma, and according to their karma, they suffer the consequences. But if someone at the time of death can fix his mind on Krishna, then what happens? Then, when he is leaving his body, he is becoming free from his gross body, right? And then, when he thinks about Krishna, then his subtle body dissolves. His subtle body, he becomes also free from his subtle body because he doesn't have any material attachment. He is simply thinking of Krishna. Then his mind becomes Krishna conscious, his intelligence becomes Buddhi Yoga, and his false ego becomes a devotee. False ego is that we want to lord over the material nature, but our real ego is that we are the servant of Krishna. So servant of Krishna means a devotee. So this way, when one leaves his body in Krishna consciousness, then his subtle body is transformed. Or he is also freed from his subtle body and he is situated in his spiritual body. He gets his original form, his spiritual form. And in the spiritual form, he goes back to the spiritual nature. Because as soon as one becomes aware of his spiritual identity, he goes back to the spiritual nature. So that's why it is very important that we fix our mind on Krishna at the time of death. Now, does it sound like a fanatical conclusion? A sentimental presentation? No. Doesn't this sound scientific? This explanation? Jatayu?
Yes.
So that's why Krishna consciousness is a science, and we are attached to Krishna consciousness because it's a science. Krishna consciousness is not actually meant for fools. Let fools become attached to sentiment. But wise man, he is attached to knowledge. Right? So devotees are situated in knowledge. And we notice that as we spend our time in Krishna consciousness, we actually become wiser and wiser and wiser. Like when we joined, of course when we joined we all thought that we are pure devotees. But still, then soon enough we get to know that we do not actually know anything. And more we make advancement, we actually get to know more and more. So that's how we become wiser and wiser. Isn't it, Harvey? Are you getting wiser? So actually this is how Krishna consciousness actually proves that it is the most wonderful thing, and our attachment to Krishna, our attachment to the process of Krishna consciousness becomes stronger and stronger because it is always verified. Like, to give an example, it's true that we believe with certain amount of faith. When we begin Krishna consciousness, we begin with some certain amount of faith. Right? We can't, devotees tell, why don't you come and join us? Try it out for 2 months. See it for 2 months, and if you don't like it, then you can leave. Right? And we think that, well, what's the harm? After all, we can see for 2 months. After all, it's not bad. I'll have a nice atmosphere, nice people. These people are actually nice. So let me just spend some time with them and see. Isn't it? I think that's how we join. We think that, well, let's give it a try. Let's see what happens. Right? And so we come with a certain amount of faith. We believe that, yes, we'll get something out of this Krishna consciousness. But before we came, we didn't really have the experience what we are going to get. Right? But as we come in, then we begin to get the taste of it. In the beginning, Krishna is very merciful. Krishna actually gives us a lot of taste in the beginning. Right? And that fixes us up. And then as we stay in Krishna consciousness, we get higher and higher taste, provided we are on the right track. That is, what is the right track? Who will tell me? What is the right track in Krishna consciousness? How do we know that we are perfectly situated in Krishna consciousness? Sadhu?
Follow the orders of our spiritual master.
Yes, and what is the order of the spiritual master?
To be Krishna conscious.
Right. Yes. So it has been delineated, it has been specified by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Trinadopi Sunichena Taruriva Shahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtanya Sadahari. Right? Mahaprabhu said that. Mahaprabhu gave the process of Krishna consciousness. Becoming more humble than a blade of grass, becoming more tolerant than a tree, and not desiring any respect for ourselves, and offering all the respect to others, we chant the holy name all the time. Now, if we notice, then we can see that when we are non-devotees, before we join the movement, were we very humble? No, we are very puffed up here. We used to think that we are the greatest. No matter whoever we are, we may be a miserable being, but we thought that I am the greatest. Only thing is that the world is not recognizing me. So that's how we used to feel when we were karmis. Right? Every karmi feels like that. But in Krishna consciousness, as we are making advancement, we are becoming more and more humble. Right? And we are becoming, as we make advancement, we are becoming more and more tolerant. Now, if we do not become humble, and if we do not become tolerant, then we must understand that there is something wrong in my practice. And if we want all the respect for ourselves and not give any respect to others, then we must be sure that we are in trouble. So that is how we figure out whether we are making advancement in Krishna consciousness. So that process is there. And so in Krishna consciousness, this is one thing, that we become humble, we become tolerant, we offer respect to others but do not demand any respect for ourselves. And on top of everything, we begin to appreciate the association of devotees. So that is the sign that we are making advancement in Krishna consciousness. And as we make advancement, as we become more humble, more tolerant, more respectful, and develop our taste for the holy name, accordingly we develop our taste for the holy name. And as we develop our taste for the holy name, we begin to get the taste of love for Krishna. Because our taste for holy name actually gives us the love for Krishna. And this love for Krishna is actually the spirit's natural craving. The spirit always wants to love. But in the material nature, people are, the spirits are actually loving different material objects. And that's why they're never satisfied. Because spirit wants to love, but spirit doesn't want to love matter. Spirit wants to love the spirit, the supreme spirit. And who is the Supreme Spirit? Who is the Supreme Spirit?
Krishna.
That's nice. So that's why, devotee, when we begin to love Krishna, we become completely satisfied. That's what Prabhupada used to say, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Right? What does it mean? It means when we chant Hare Krishna properly, we'll develop our love for Krishna and we'll automatically become will automatically become joyful, will automatically become satisfied. So here Prabhupada also is pointing out another thing, is that sometimes there are some people, those who read Bhagavatam for 7 days and call it Bhagavat Saptaha, they come and they would recite Bhagavatam for 7 days, and they would actually recite very nicely in the sense it's very nice to hear. They're very good singers and they know many shlokas and they sing very nicely. They give a lot of stories, and in Kali Yuga people like to hear stories. Like I notice that sometimes when I give class, devotees tend to fall asleep, maybe. They tend to fall asleep. And when I see that, I immediately tell them a story. They all wake up right then, because people like to hear stories. So these people are actually expert. They're expert storytellers. And people like it very much. And then they give them a lot of money. Like I know one man, his name is Dongre Maharaj, the very famous Bhagavat reciter. But he's a Mayavadi. But people do not know. And once I heard in Bombay, in one Bhagavat Saptaha, in 1 week, he made 3 crores of rupees. That is close to $3 million. Just in 1 week. I mean, it's incredible the way these people give them money. But they come, they take their money, but do not give them Krishna. So that is, what is the use of that kind of Bhagavata recitation? If by hearing Bhagavatam we do not develop our love for Krishna, then what is the use? Dharma shanushthita pungshan vishakshena kathasuya not padayet jadi rotim shramayeva hi kevalam. By performing religious activities, spiritual activities, if we do not develop our love for Krishna, then it's just a waste of time. So now hearing this Bhagavata Saptaha, they do not actually develop any love for Krishna. And that's why it's just a waste of time. And Prabhupada is pointing out that these people are rascals. They're basically, they don't believe in Krishna. They simply use Srimad Bhagavatam to make some money. These professional Bhagavat reciters, they recite Bhagavatam as a profession. Like a person goes to the office to earn his living, these people recite Bhagavatam to earn his living, to maintain their family. So they are actually the biggest rascals. And also Prabhupada pointed out why there should be only 1 week recitation of Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj listened to Bhagavatam for 1 week because he had only 7 days left. He had only 1 week left, and that's why he listened to only for 1 week. But actually one should listen to Bhagavatam all the time. Nittam Bhagavata Sevaya. Isn't it? Nittam means all the time. And if we want to actually follow Parikshit Maharaj's footsteps, then we must understand that we must listen to Bhagavat till the end of our life. Parikshit Maharaj had 7 days left, so he listened to Bhagavatam for 7 days till the end of his life. So we also should listen to Bhagavatam till the end of our life. Not only 7 days and then forget about Bhagavatam and Krishna and go back to all kinds of nonsense activities. That is the biggest crime actually. So devotees that want to listen to Bhagavatam, hear and chant Bhagavatam all the time. Shrinnatam sa katha Krishna punna shravana kirtana riddantastho abhadrani bidhu noti surit satam nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nittam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. So that is the process. Srinnatam shakatha Krishna punna sravana kirtana. This auspicious narration of the Lord gives us all auspiciousness, gives us the highest benefit of life by reciting and hearing. When we chant or when we hear, both actually gives us the highest benediction, benefit. And how does it give us the highest benefit? By purifying our heart of all the contaminations. Actually our hearts are full of all kinds of dirt, all kinds of garbage. But when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then our heart becomes purified of all those impurities. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvavanam. That is how it purifies our heart, and when our heart becomes purified, then all our material miseries are immediately eradicated. We are immediately relieved of all material miseries. So this is how Srimad Bhagavatam actually offers us the highest benediction. And Parikshit Maharaj was very intelligent to understand that, and he listened to Bhagavatam and ultimately he left his body
thinking about Krishna, and thus he was situated in the spiritual platform. So following the footsteps of Parikshit Maharaj, we also must hear and chant Srimad Bhagavatam all the time, so that at the time of death, we also can fix our mind on Krishna and go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question?
This explains Kalena Parichyate, that if from the fruits we can examine the process. Yeah. So if this professional Bhagavatam recited gets so much lakshmi, then somebody might say that this means that he's first class.
Well, is money the ultimate fruit?
But the materialists, they cannot see something else.
Yeah, so for materialists, money is the ultimate fruit, right? And they recognize the bhiksha, the Bhagavad reciter, by the amount of money he is making, right? But we do not really care for money. We care for Krishna prema, right? So our fruit is Krishna prema, love for Krishna. That's why although Sanatana Goswami had the touchstone, you know that story. Yeah. And touchstone is something that you touch any metal, it will become gold. Like you can touch the touchstone in the kartal, and this kartal will become gold. And what will be the value of this kartal then? So much gold, about more than a kilo of gold. Right? So Sanatana Goswami could get the maximum amount, I mean all the wealth of this world, just because of he had this touchstone. Right? But where did Sanatana Goswami kept it? Where did Sanatana Goswami keep it? He kept it in the garbage pile. Right? So for us, money is not so important. But we use money in Krishna's service. We use Lakshmi Devi. For us it is not money, it is Lakshmi Devi. So we get Lakshmi Devi, we release Lakshmi Devi from the hands of the demons and use her in Krishna's service. So Lakshmi Devi becomes very pleased. And when you do that, Lakshmi Devi wants to come to us more and more. Right? So actually this Dongre Maharaj, you know, he got 3 crores, 4 crores. But consider how much money Prabhupada got. Prabhupada did not recite Bhagavatam in that way. But at that time when Prabhupada was present, Prabhupada's daily income all over ISKCON was something like 60 lakhs of rupees. Right? 60 lakhs means 60 lakhs means 60,000 pounds. $60,000. Right? So one day Prabhupada made $60,000 constantly throughout the month, throughout the year. So in a month he made half a million in a week. Right? He made half a million a week constantly. So Prabhupada also was making money. But with that money what Prabhupada did? Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness. But with his money what this rascal do? He simply enjoys his senses.
Yeah, but then they say, if God would not like this, then he would not give him so much success.
Well, sometimes God gives people some kind of material success to make him, to kick him out of his kingdom. Right? Like Hiranyakashipu. Do you know how rich he was? No, better still is Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha took all the gold of this earth planet. And that's why he took so much gold out of the earth planet. He had so much gold that the earth planet went off balance. Right? And earth plunged into the lower planetary system. Right? So can you imagine how rich Hiranyaksha was? Right? So Krishna gave him some success, but for what? They get some material success, they get some money. But that is simply to ruin themselves. Like Ravan was so powerful that he had Maya Sita. He stole Sita. Of course, Ravan cannot steal Sita, Lakshmi Devi. He stole Maya Sita, the illusory image of Sita. Right? So they are not actually getting money, they are getting actually the illusory impression of the wealth. But because of their propensity to enjoy Lakshmi, they can simply call their destruction. But devotees do not want to become attached to Lakshmi Devi as such. Devotees are simply attached to Krishna, Narayan. And whenever he sees Lakshmi Devi, he says, please come to Narayan. Right? And Lakshmi Devi automatically becomes very pleased. Like, especially our line, what is our line? Principle, main principle? We, in following Mahaprabhu's footsteps, we simply want to see, we simply want to bring Krishna to Radha and Radharani to Krishna. Right? We want to bring Krishna to Radharani. We want to bring Narayan to Lakshmi. And automatically, of course, you know what, we bring Lakshmi Devi to Narayan. When we get money, what do we do with this money? We use it in printing books, spreading Krishna consciousness, building temples, right? So, that is a positive utilization of money. But if instead of doing that, if we got the money and used it for our enjoyment, then what would have happened? Then what would have happened? Then we would have been finished. Our spiritual life would have been finished. Right? Like that's one thing I noticed about Vishnupad zone. Like why this zone is doing so well? Because Vishnupad always uses the money for printing books. I mean, his main concern is to print books. Right? So he, whatever he gets, he simply wants to print books and help Mayapur. Right? These are his two most important projects. He never uses his money for other things. Right? That's why this zone is becoming so stronger, whereas other zones are suffering. Why? Because they use Lakshmi for their sense gratification. So whoever uses Lakshmi Devi for spreading Krishna consciousness, he will become more favored by Krishna. Right? Any other? Yeah, have you?
You said that when the devotee or one who thinks on Krishna at this time, at the time of his death, he gets a spiritual body, or his original spiritual appearance. So, is the body still already there, or because he left the spiritual world, is
yes.
It the same body, the same morphology, or is it another body?
So, did everybody understand the question, Balaji Prabhu? Balaji Prabhu is translating it. Yes, our spiritual body is always there because it's actually eternal. It is not that we have to develop our spiritual body. It is there, but it's actually covered, right? It is covered, and that's why it has become just a spark, right? It has been smashed, you see, by matter, you know, it has been pushed. Or we can look at it another way, is that we had our spiritual body, but what is the object, what is the purpose of spiritual body? The purpose of spiritual body is to render service to Krishna, right? So we had our spiritual hands, but with our hand, when we stopped using our hands for serving Krishna, then our hands shrank, right? Our legs were also meant for serving Krishna. When we stopped serving Krishna, our legs also shrank. So our whole body, our whole entity actually shrank and became a spark. It became a speck, a dot. Right? And that dot is existing in this body. And this dot, the spiritual spark is giving out some consciousness. Like a spark gives out some light, so the soul is giving out some consciousness. But when you become engaged in serving Krishna, right, when you use our hands in serving Krishna, then our hand, spiritual hand appears. Right?
The body grows.
Right? So body actually, then that original body becomes manifest. Right? It is not that accidentally, all of a sudden one day it will happen. It will gradually develop. And when you are fully spiritualized, then our spiritual body will become fully manifest.
How is it then the person who is on his way back to Krishna and on a very high level but falls down again? So his spiritual body is supposed to be developed again. Why?
Yeah. You see, a person who has developed a spiritual body will not actually fall down. That's why it says that pure devotees don't fall. In our impure state, we may fall down.
But the growth already starts in the impure state, or?
Yes, but then, like you forget, when you stop rendering service to Krishna, then again, all your spiritual body, all the limbs of your spiritual body is withdrawn. Then you forget, right? But then again, when you start, you will get back your form, right? And it is said that when one begins devotional service, he is situated in the position where he actually ended in his previous life.